What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 2nd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
We've made it to March.
We made it to March. Can you believe it?
The biggest video game month of the year,
I don't know if people would say that.
But like, we have some really great games coming out this month.
Of course.
Yes.
Doom Eternal.
Animal Crossing.
Right.
Is Resident Evil 3 out this month, I think?
Yeah,
possibly?
That's right.
Yeah.
It was going to be GDC. I thought you were making a joke, see? That's what I thought you were going for.
And
GDC got postponed.
No, I'm talking about like all the actual games that are coming
out. Half-Life, yeah. Half-Life Alyx. Yeah.
Persona 5 Royal.
Persona 5 Royal.
That'll take you the rest of the year.
It might actually be the biggest gaming month of the year if we don't count like the console releases.
Sure.
If we discount fall now because we don't know what's coming fall. I feel like this month is a big month.
It is a big month.
Yeah.
It's all finally happening.
It is.
It's here.
We've been waiting for it.
2020, you know what I mean?
Because February got canceled.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
And so we have March. Though March is starting to get canceled.
It comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. Or is that April? Fuck, wait, that's April. Is it March is in like a lion, out like a lamb?
I've never heard this phrase.
This is a Midwest thing. You know what I'm talking about, though, Cleveland, right?
I'm from the Midwest, and I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
sorry, this is an Illinois thing. You know what I'm talking about, Illinois. Sorry, here. Hold on a second.
Say it again?
In like a lion, out like a lamb. Y'all remember this?
No.
Yeah.
In like a lion, out like there's not even lions. There aren't lions in Illinois.
It goes out like a lion. It comes in all stormy and crazy, and then by the end it gets
like a tornado.
Yeah,
the Midwest has
like
tornadoes.
A big stormy. Yeah,
yeah, like
rainy.
A storm.
It rains a lot.
I don't know. That's just like an average.
Then I'm thinking
day
of April showers bring May flowers. Fuck.
Yeah, there you go.
Hold on, we're googling it right now.
I've heard that one for sure.
In like
April,
a lion,
April showers bring May flowers.
Like
you might be thinking of Muhammad Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
No, I'm not thinking of that one. According to FarmersAlmanac.com, the truth behind in like a lion, out like a lamb. If March comes in like a lion, it will go out like... Oh, it's like a conditional thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like a fucking...
It's like the hedgehog.
God! Video games and technology have ruined us. I can't remember any of these things. Interesting. Okay. So it isn't a guaranteed thing. Got it. Also, we're already wrong. Gondor's Condor says RE3 Remake comes out April 3rd.
Oh.
2020.
Okay. Second biggest month.
We're very excited about that game, you and me, apparently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, I'm so excited.
Here's the bigger thing I wanted to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
So... Friday, you're going to go over to IGN
yes.
for their Black History Month stream.
Yes.
You do it. You go over there. You kill it. I watched it. It was great. You did a great job.
Appreciate it.
However, you make a point to wear an OK Beast shirt then.
Yes.
As if you don't have any Kinda Funny merch. Then you come to work today on a Monday where you won't be on IGN.com. You wear two things of Kinda Funny merch.
Does Kinda Funny really need the promotion on IGN.com?
I think so, right? A lot of kids. I get it all the time. Kids still see me in the street and they yell, IGN guy. I'm like, yeah, sure. Whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, clearly they need to know something.
I had to put this in the washer, so it wasn't ready on Friday. That's a lot.
I was going to say. That's a likely fucking story lesson. God damn it. Today we're going to talk about GDC being postponed, Death Stranding getting some Half-Life content, and Valorant? I don't know. They still haven't said it out there, right? Has been revealed because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and of course, squad up requests. Over on Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames, you can ask us your questions. But more importantly, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show that happens each and every weekday. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can watch live over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you.
Listen.
Tomorrow's the big day, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, it's so rare we have an audiovisual bit that works. I was totally thrown. Tomorrow's the big day. Boss Baby Barrett spent most of the past year playing every major Zelda game, and because of your support on Patreon back in January, he has been working on Zelda In Review, an in-review special where Barrett reviews every Zelda game he played, ranks each game, and rediscovers what makes The Legend of Zelda special. Zelda In Review comes out on the third anniversary of Breath of the Wild. That's tomorrow as a YouTube premiere at 2 p.m. Pacific time on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Make sure you come watch as we premiere Zelda In Review and hang out in the chat as Barrett answers questions and talks to you even more about The Legend of Zelda. Barrett, what's the final runtime?
3 hours and 57 minutes.
So even if you can't put aside enough time live, remember, that'll be on demand, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it.
We could have just made a series.
Again,
cooler.
We talked about this last
week.
We did
talk about it.
Where, like, there's debate of, like, how we wanted to put it out and stuff. And, again, we decided it would be really
fun to put
Endgame
it all together. Avengers Endgame isn't even that long.
I know.
There hasn't been as many Avengers movies as there's been Zelda games.
It's true.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know if that's true. I'd have to sit down.
I know.
Are you saying MCU movies or Avengers movies?
I'm saying. I know what you're all about to try to get me on. I said Avengers movies. How many times has Avengers been in the fucking title? Right?
Four?
Avengers. Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame. Avengers. I missed one,
Infinity.
Right? Yeah,
War.
Infinity War. Endgame. Nails you, fuckers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
This is what I want you to do. Pull your. If you were in your car a second ago and you're like, that's wrong, Greg. You're wrong. Pull your car over to the median right now. Pull down your own pants and slap yourself on the ass a few times.
Wow.
All right? Give yourself a spanking, you naughty, naughty boy.
It's Monday morning.
Yeah, and if you can't make the YouTube premiere like afterwards, there will be like time codes and stuff.
Sure, people want to skip around.
Is there an audio version? I saw somebody ask that. Probably not, right?
Maybe.
That's easy to rip. You can make that.
We'll talk about it.
Put it on Patreon. Put it up for free on Patreon.
Maybe at a later date.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Drew, Garnier Fruities, Blackjack, and the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan.
Whoa.
Did you hear about this?
No.
They all pooled their money together and
that's
did one sponsorship.
Awesome.
So I'll just say it again. The kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. If you want to play Destiny 2 on PC, hit them up. Go play with them. Today we're brought to you by kindoffunny.com/Patreon, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
The first one is one that broke late on Friday.
Yeah.
Making me correct, as so many people were pointing out, that I predicted this and it came true. Number one, GDC is postponed. The official statement reads, after close consultation with our partners in the game development industry and community around the world, we've made the difficult decision to postpone the Game Developers Conference this March. Having spent the past year preparing for the show with our advisory boards, speakers, exhibitors, and event partners, we're genuinely upset and disappointed not to be able to host you at this time. We want to thank all our customers and partners for their support, open discussions, and encouragement. As everyone has been reminding us, great things happen when the community comes together and connects at GDC. For this reason, we fully intend to host a GDC event later in the summer. We will be working with our partners to finalize the details, and we'll share more information about our plans in the coming weeks. Now, bless.
Yes.
No shock here.
Not at all.
Obviously, we've been detailing well on this show for the past few weeks. Everybody pulling out of GDC, whether it be PlayStation, Oculus, Microsoft, on and on and on it goes. GDC's hand was forced here, correct?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Especially as, you know, this is all centered around coronavirus fears, SF being San Francisco declaring a state of emergency.
Yeah. And even if, like, they wanted to keep doing GDC with all the pullouts alone.
Sure.
That
what are you
is, do? Yeah, that's enough to make
I
them
saw
go,
a graphic
shoot.
Somebody had been making where it was the, you know, Diamond Platinum board members or whatever with big red X's through everyone that was dropping out, like, clearly showing what was happening here. The right call, Wes?
I think it's the only call, really. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything else they could have done. The fact that they're postponing it as opposed to canceling it makes me curious because they say they're postponing it to summer. I still have the question of, is it going to happen in the summer? Right?
That's the big thing, right? Once this happened on Friday, there was a lot of joke tweets about every looks at E3 in the ESA.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do now? You know what I mean?
Because,
as we continue to see, and let me throw one in here that I was going to read later, but I'll toss in here, all right? Because this, I think, is pertaining to what we're talking about. Also, EVE FanFest 2020 has been canceled. CCP wrote this. Dear Capsuleers, in light of the recent and ongoing global developments surrounding the spread of COVID-19 coronavirus, we have taken the decision to cancel this year's FanFest in Reykjavik, Iceland. It is with a heavy heart that we make this decision, and we know this news will be disappointing to our wonderful community. But we feel absolutely compelled to follow the most responsible course of action and prioritize the safety and well-being of our attendees, our staff, and of course, the general Icelandic public. We realize that the situation a month from now could be very different, but the way events are developing both globally and in Iceland's neighboring countries, an in-depth and serious review has made it clear that this is a necessary step to take. We wanted to get this information to you as swiftly as possible in order to allow you to make the necessary changes to any travel or accommodation arrangements that you have made. We will be providing further details over the course of the next few weeks, so please keep an eye on all the EVE Online social media channels for these updates. Fly safe. I bring that in as we start to talk about E3, right, mm-hmm. of this statement here. We realize that this situation a month from now could be very different. But the way the situation is developed, blah, 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 blah. They're worried about something happening a month from now, right? Now we're already talking about E3 in the summer. GDC's already talking about postponing to summer. Mm-hmm. If something's going to happen to E3, when do you think that call is made?
We talked about this a little bit on our last show, and I feel like they got to do it earlier than later.
You think,
right?
May, or you think even April? May, you're less than a month away, depending on when you drop the news.
Yeah, I think maybe even in April. I feel like by April, maybe like mid late April, we get a clearer idea of how the situation progresses.
You feel like in April you're going to understand more of, is this an actual outbreak epidemic in the United States?
Yeah, like how long, right, like can we look at this last thing? I feel like we started to get an idea of how this really affects the world in the next few months by that time. And so I think by April they kind of have to make that call, you know, because, you know, one, the earlier the better, because that's a lot of money, closer and closer you get to it. That's a lot of preparation that's going into it. By that time, there's a lot of, you know, flights being booked, all that stuff, right? And you want to inform people, right? The a lot of issues we've been having with GDC is the fact that they've been giving people refunds, you know, for GDC, right? They've not necessarily been, they can't necessarily refund people on their plane tickets 100%. or their stay, right? And we have really fun stuff that's going on that's kind of helping people with that stuff. But with all that being the case, E3 specifically, you kind of got to get that messaging out there sooner than later.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you talk about the expenses. I'll drop this one in here. There's been the announcement of the GDC Relief Fund. The press release reads, "For an indie developer, attending GDC is a significant investment, not only on a financial level, but also on the time invested in traveling, preparing demos, and pitches, all in hopes of meeting key partners, learning and sharing with industry peers. GDC's postponement due to COVID-19 health concerns will strongly impact that investment. To help alleviate the burden, new games label Wings Interactive have teamed up with a host of companies in the games industry to create the GDC Relief Fund, already raising dollars, USD, in the space of a few short days." Oh, is that funny? That's hilarious. It's more than $76,000. I think they might have left that out of the press release. They just put USD in there as a placeholder.
Oh, raising
USD. I've seen on a separate thing, it's already more than $76,000.
Gotcha.
In the space of a few short days. Supported developers will be selected according to their estimated impact of the postponement on their organizations and the financial hardship they are experiencing. Developers are invited to apply via the GDC Relief Fund website, wingsfund.me/GDC Relief. More sponsors are joining the cause so far, including Redbeat Interactive, Landfall, Raw Fury, Modern Wolf, Warhorse Studios, Versus Evil, 11-Bit Studios, Those Awesome Guys, United Label, Triband, Makers Fund, GameDev.World, the Games and Online Harassment Hotline, with more joining outside of that. And that's the other big wrinkle to it, is the fact that even if it is canceled and they do refund your GDC badge, you're talking about this.
Yeah.
I know I saw in people talking in my thread to this one developer who came to PAX East and was going to do a train across the United States to San Francisco to do GDC. And her whole thing was that she wanted to keep her carbon emissions footprint as low as possible. And so with this, the changeover or whatever, she looked into changing her flights, and it's like $3,000 a person.
Oh, dang.
And so she's like, well, we're still going to do the train. So if there's anything to do in San Francisco, let us know. And like, that's the reality of it for so many smaller developers. That is part of it.
I think this paints, you know, a big picture of what it's like organizing an event this big compared to something that's even bigger like E3, right? E3 is very front facing. Like, everybody kind of has eyes on E3, whereas GDC is smaller and more
it's more inside
baseball for the industry, right? Yeah. And it's still having these big effects, so much so that, you know, the sponsors are giving to a relief fund to help developers that were going to GDC.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like it's very clear to see like how negative the effects can be of canceling a big event like this. And so E3, I think they're going to have to be clear and on point as far as how they go about messaging and go about their timing for either canceling or even the messaging of, hey, no, we're going all in, like, you know, just so you guys know, you know, this is 100% happening. Whether or not, whatever the messaging might be, they're gonna have to be on point with it.
And that's where it's just a can of worms right now in terms of all of this. The other thing I saw on Kotaku today was that Emerald City Comic Con is still going forward. That's in Seattle. That's still going to happen. And that it makes you wonder more about E3 in the fact of how much of it does have to do with location, right? San Francisco did declare that it was a state of emergency, which I think exacerbated concerns. Mm-hmm. Then there have been Bay Area cases reported, and I'm talking more north than us, but the fact that, hey, this is happening, it is jumping around. But in Kotaku's reporting on Emerald City continue to happen, which is a ReadPop show, which... Mm-hmm. Who are the same people who just put on PAX East this past weekend in Boston, right? There are outbreaks already in the Seattle area as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there was a report of, like, the first death from coronavirus in Seattle recently.
Yeah, and so it is so what makes one different than the other? Why? Where are you going to pick and choose?
I think it really is the timing. Like, I think if Emerald City Comic Con was maybe 2 to 3 weeks later, it might be somewhat of a different story. Like, I could see, given that is a much, much bigger show at the same time. And so I don't know how much goes into canceling a show of that size.
Yeah.
But I could see it very much being a different case of people pulling out of that also. The fact that PAX East, you know, happened this last week. The fact that Emerald City Comic Con... Actually, when is Emerald City Comic Con happening?
March something, right? I think...
Because I might have that wrong. I think I was thinking it was this week, but I might have got that mixed up.
Oh, it's not this week. No. Yeah. It's not that close. I'll toss back up Kotaku. Yeah, here it is. Seattle's biggest thing is going forward. March 12th through the 15th at the Washington State Convention
Center. Okay, so that's like the same week that GDC would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, a show that's that big, you know, has to have so much more going into it that it's a bigger ship to try and move and cancel. But... Yeah, dude.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I agree with that because really? It is that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know Emerald City Comic Con well, I guess. So that should be prefaced immediately. Mm. You know what I mean? Whereas I know GDC so well. And I think that part of the concerns of GDC are we have so many international people that were coming in. Mm-hmm. So it is above and beyond the usual thing of what a local thing would be. So if Seattle is just more local, okay. But again, as I read the Kotaku's thing, right, it is this conversation that. The governor, Jay Inslee, this is from Kotaku. I'm reading from Luke Plunkett, of course. Only one who's doing any work over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Jason Shire? Nobody knows.
He's gone.
The governor, Jay Inslee, declared a state of emergency in Washington on Saturday with one of the most recent cases in the state involving a high school boy who had not had contact with previous recorded patients, suggesting that the virus is now transmitting locally in the area. This basically means the patient caught it without having traveled to an already infected zone and had not had direct contact with one of those already recorded having been infected. So right there, it's like, it's two different schools of thought, and both are equally terrifying, where it is the GDC thing of, listen, everybody's bailing because they're worried, justifiably, so we're doing it. And then ReadPop, right, people who are putting on Emerald City Comic Con and PAX, like we said, put out this statement. Emerald City Comic Con wants to express our concern for everyone impacted by the COVID-19 virus in the state of Washington and around the world. We are proactively monitoring the situation as state agencies take proactive measures to ensure health and safety and prepare for and respond to the COVID-19 virus in the state. As always, the well-being of our global ReadPop community, from our attendees and exhibitors to our staff on site at every show, is of the utmost importance to ReadPop, and we take pride in creating a positive environment to celebrate comics, cosplay, and pop culture. ECCC 2020 will take place in the schedule March 12th through 15th at the Washington State Convention Center in downtown Seattle. We have implemented enhanced cleaning and sanitation across the show, including adhering to the recommendations set forth in the U.S. EPA's emerging pathogen policy regarding cleaning disinfectants effective against COVID virus. We are working closely with the Washington State Convention Center and other venue partners and aligning with local, state, and federal public health guidelines and agencies. As ECCC approaches, we will be constantly reviewing our health protection activities, public health messaging, hygiene, and medical control measures with the aim of strengthening our COVID-19 response further in line with up-to-date public health, including that of the CDC. So it's the, we're going to cancel to be safe. We're pushing forward with what people say it says works. Mm-hmm. And both are equally fair and both are equally terrifying.
Yeah.
In the fact of, that's all awesome. What about when somebody this week gets diagnosed that they have COVID-19 coronavirus and went to PAX?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like if not there, what about when it happens in Emerald City? Where sure enough, like that's what I keep seeing. I keep reading the Washington Post reporting on this stuff and the cases that are popping up. Where it's like, cool, no idea how this person got it. So now there's this extensive backtracking to see every human being they've interacted with. And for the one that was in the NorCal area, it was a little bit easier. It seemed like she had limited contact. But imagine if this was one of the contacts. Mm-hmm. Where it was, I don't know, I went to a show. I went to a trade show. Fuck.
Yeah. How much of GDC's cancellation do you think has to do with PlayStation kind of setting that precedent of being the first, like the first big people to pull out, right, announcing that, hey, we're not going to PAX East or GDC, and then maybe other companies seeing that and following suit.
I don't think it's on their shoulders.
Of course, not at all.
Other people would have. This is clearly based on how this all happened and all the dominoes that fell. Mm-hmm. People were already having this conversation and already having this thought process. I think if it would have been a, we're a tiny indie developer or whatever, right? We're showing one thing. Like if Remedy was like, we're not going to go. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to send anybody to do any of our panels, right? Like we're not going to do any of our talks on Control like we planned on it. It'd be like, understandable, weird. You know what I mean? I don't think it would have been like such a big deal, but the fact that it was PlayStation.
Yeah.
Only Microsoft, PlayStation, and Nintendo can really speak that way.
Yeah, because I think from the way I kind of see it, right, I see a big company like Sony pulling out, and I could easily see other companies seeing that and being like even workers being like, hey, you know, are they seeing something that we're not seeing, right? Yeah. Like, they're pulling out. Why aren't we pulling out? Right? Well, and then those dominoes falling that way.
What's fascinating, right, is when we talked about this with PlayStation originally pulling out, it started this great conversation of, well, on top of the actual concern, there's the concern of, the concern of risking your employees and all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's then the legality of all this, right, that if you endangered your employees by sending them in, like, all this minutia stuff in a real technical, what your insurance covers and doesn't cover. What I find fascinating, I honestly probably wouldn't have noticed this if it wasn't for way smarter people on Twitter and people I've had conversations with over the weekend, right? GDC Relief Fund, right? The end of the first paragraph reads, GDC's postponement due to COVID-19 health concerns will strongly impact the investment. Yeah, blah, 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 right? If you go back and read GDC's statement, there is no statement there about COVID or coronavirus, right? After close consultation with our partners in the game development industry and community around the world, we've made the difficult decision to postpone the Game Developer Conference this March. Having spent the past year, talking about their speakers, they're disappointed, all this stuff. We thank you for the customers and partners, this open discussion, this encouragement. But no mention of any of this, of like why. Because you know why, but they don't put it in writing. And it was that thing from talking to people this weekend of like, is that something for insurance too? Where you can't publicly state that. Also, like, for real, GDC's canceled.
Yeah.
They say postponed. Is that another legality to get out of getting, you know, hosed by the Moscone Center or something like this and who you're on the hook for with a vendor and this, that,
I can see it being like a hope thing of like, yeah, we really want to do this in the summer. Or like, if we don't do this in the summer, we might not be able to do this ever again.
And right. So back to our conversation, right, that I'd heard of like, you know, scuttlebutt on the internet of like, well, how much, if this, I think they're barely breaking even or barely making any money.
Like,
if they
cancel this year, right, then GDC just might be over forever.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a big loss to take. And so maybe it could be a thing of them preparing to just do it in the summer as like a last kind of hope. And if it gets canceled in the summer, then, you know, what happens. It could be that for them. I could also see this messaging being a thing of like they're putting it more on the partners not wanting to be there rather than the actual virus themselves. Like they might not, you know, be on the side of, hey, this is a real fear that people should have, you know, at this moment coming to GDC. But the fact that enough partners are pulling out because of it. That's actually why we're having to postpone it, is because we're having the conversation with our partners and
throw a show for people if no people come.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I could see that being the case. But yeah, my question is like, even if COVID-19, right, isn't an issue in the summer,
COVID-19 sounds like coronavirus is running for office and I hate
it. Right?
I hate it.
But like, even if it's not an issue in the summer, right, somehow it dissipates and, you know, it's contained and we don't have to worry about it on the same level anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
When do they have GDC in the summer, right? Because they can't do it during E3.
Yeah.
There's
Summer E3 is the start of video game summer, right? So that's totally taken up, right? And not to mention, you get into this whole thing of the people who are going to GDC, a lot of them are going to E3 for same things of meetings and meeting each other, getting together, pitching their games and stuff. Not to mention, I've seen plenty of people online from Microsoft and other developers saying, or publishers being like, our week's free now, so hit us up if you want to pitch us your game. Like, we can take calls during GDC. You have E3 followed quickly by Comic-Con. If you want to toss in RTX, Guardian Con, like there's so many different things going on there that are already announced, that are already established, let alone PAX coming up to end the summer. Like there's time in there, but then there is also the investment. There is also the fact that I just saw a lot of these people at E3. Traditionally, GDC is like the start of that. You see people here in the spring. You see people at E3 in the summer. Game Awards runs out the year for December or whatever.
Yeah.
Not to mention if you want to go to a Gamescom or something to that effect. But that's a different kind of show than what GDC is. Mm. And so, even if GDC is really postponed and comes back in the summer, it's going to have such a smaller impact. And it's still the whole thing of how fractured this mess is. I urge you to go to, fuck, well, it doesn't help if I don't remember where to send you to. I want to say it was Kotaku. Was it Kotaku? Hold on. No, I almost have it. Gamesindustry.biz. Gamesindustry.biz has a whole thing up about both the cancellation, obviously, but then the relief fund, and then the myriad of things that are still happening at GDC Week, and people who have taken up the reins to do smaller things that if you're already coming here, come do it. Mm. But it's so fractured that there's like three that are doing the exact same thing. Like, if you're here, come do the thing. Give your speeches here, whatever. Yeah. It's like, there's this weird mix for us even where guest hosts, you know, GDC is traditionally where we have a million guest hosts on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Lots of them have dropped out. Many haven't, but they're just here now for a week, like doing whatever. It's like, all right, cool. And like, I'm canceling things, but then I have to double check. And some demos aren't, some events aren't. Like, you know, I don't want to name things. I think so many things are in flux, but it's going to be fascinating to see what that week actually looks like.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like a mini GDC, like unofficial GDC that happens during the week in San Francisco.
Exactly. And that, like I said, you go to gamesindustry.biz, they have a bunch up there. William D'Angelo writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can to be part of the show, and says, "Dear Greg and Blessing, with GDC being canceled, what is going to happen that week? Is it going to be a normal week, or is something going to take its place? Is it just going to be Kind of Funny and IGN going out drinking every night of the week?"
IGN and Kind of Funny do that?
Not as often. You know what I mean?
I'm down.
I mean, like, usually everyone's down there. Yeah, I mean, we can do a pub crawl, the COVID-19 for office pub crawl.
Maybe we'll
come up with a better name, all right?
We can't call it that because nobody will show up.
No, that's a good point, I guess, yeah. Yeah, so that I want to make sure we answer your question, which I believe we did, so I didn't even need to read it. But I'd like to point out that I think about you, William. Mm. It's a complete cluster of what the fuck it's going to be down there. Because it is it going to be that everyone rallies around each other? Is it going to be that there's a million things? Yeah, here, industry rallies to offer relief after the GDC cancelization. This is James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz, who starts with talking about the Wings Interactive thing, then talks about GameDev.World, which is doing its own conference running March 27th to April 3rd, doing a whole bunch of different stuff there. Meanwhile, a free three-day conference is being organized in San Francisco to give former GDC speakers the chance to deliver their talks as planned. Alt GDC will run from Monday, March 16th to Wednesday, March 18th. Former IDGA director Kate Edwards and a team are arranging a Plan B project, an event that will run March 16th through the 22nd, the week that would have previously had GDC. Not GDC, another online-only conference that runs every year during the main event, is also a welcoming speakers whose things have been canceled.
Not GDC.
Finally, Panic's Nick Sutner, what up, shout out to Nick, and a lot of Happy's Nathan Bozia have created a web app that tracks all the alternative GDC events and activities
for those
who cannot afford canceling a trip to San Francisco. Update, Game Connection America, a conference and matchmaking event that runs alongside GDC, is still going to be planned. It's like,
all right, yeah, so there are like a lot of options.
There's a whole bunch of shit happening, but you lose that hub center,
which
was Moscone, where you all knew to run in there and do different things with whatever. I don't know, man. But I am telling you right now, I clicked on the link in gamesindustry.biz, and I'm going to get the app here for Alt GDC 2020 so I can keep track of all this crap.
I'm sad because this would have been my first GDC.
Right? I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, everybody be safe and sound and all that jazz. But it was that thing I was talking to you about last week. I was like, oh, man, it kind of sucks for you, huh? GDC's a super fun show for you to go be a part of. And it's not happening now.
And now I'm like, man, is E3 going to happen? Because this would be my first E3 also.
Yeah.
What a year.
What's your prediction? You think E3 happens?
I don't know, man.
Have a prediction. I think I feel in the same way Reed Pop is like, not, I don't want to say stubborn because I don't know everything, but they are so bullish on this of like, no, this needs to happen because Reed Pop is another giant organization that needs to make money to keep paying their staff and do all their commitments and everything else.
Are you saying this in reference to PAX or to ECC?
Both PAX and GDC.
Because I feel like for PAX, right, there are enough companies that we're still in, right? PAX being so focused on indies and such a diversity of different types of games and different types of companies had enough people still going that it made it worth going to. And not that GDC wouldn't have been worth going to without the big companies, but at the same time, right? Like enough people are pulling out of GDC to make it like, oh, well, why are we still doing this then? Emerald City Comic Con, I could see being the similar thing of enough people aren't pulling out to where it's worth it still going on. E3, I'm curious to see, like, PlayStation. I mean, enough people have already pulled out of E3 in general, but also, like,
E3 gets interesting, because if you just pulled out of GDC, why wouldn't you pull out of E3?
Yeah.
unless things are remarkably better, but like we have to wait to see when that is. And as I think I was talking to Gary about this, right? And he's like, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Mm. Like it's going to, and that's the thing of, as you talk about these debts happening, we have a couple, you're wrong, correct. Now, I don't know if they're corrections, if they're just clarifications, right? Brian says, here in Seattle, the only two U.S. deaths have happened here. It's pretty wild they're going forward with ECC. I might have left out a C.
ECCC.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, okay.
It's a lot of Cs.
A nanobiologist says, just wanted to add that there's very little reliable methods for diagnosing coronavirus infections. Any regular methods are at a 50% success rate, giving true positive results, and a PCR test that are not correctly set up yet. In other words, many coronavirus diagnoses may just be flu strains. And then Ricky McFly says, it's important to highlight some context around the patient who died from the coronavirus. This is from CNN, quote, a second coronavirus death has been confirmed in King County, Washington, according to a press release from the Seattle and from Seattle and King County Public Health. The patient was a man in his 70s with underlying health conditions. Yeah, I've heard that too, Ricky. Obviously, like, as we've talked about from the beginning with this, like, I know, reading the Washington Post and stuff, they've talked about how, like, this isn't as aggressive as SARS.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that if you are, it's really worrisome for the elderly in the same way, some ways, I shouldn't say the same, in many of the same ways the regular flu is, right? Mm-hmm. But then the respiratory nature of it includes a whole bunch of different stuff for what your current health issues are, right? Steve Spawn tweeted this weekend, right? Like, yeah, I'm at super risk for this because of that, right? Like, my own lung capacity after chemotherapy, like, I think I probably have a heightened, hey, this could fuck me up worse than you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a different thing to that effect, but there's a bunch of different shit going on with it and stuff. And so, yeah, like, if you pull out a GDC, you have to wait to see if you're going to pull out an E3, but how long do you wait? And because it is the same thing of how much the booth space costs, how much all this goes. And again, hopefully knock on whatever is insured.
Yeah.
But then on top of it for the ESA, right, in the same way I think Reed Pop's bullish about, we're going to go on with Emerald City Comic Con unless they tell us to stop. Or it gets remarkably worse and we see that we can't protect people. Because again, I'm not saying that Reed Pop is evil by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of great people work there. I know them. Mm-hmm. But I think it is that thing of like, to what you're saying, our exhibitors haven't pulled out. Why would we pull out kind of thing? It's the same thing here of like, well, on top of the money you're making there from your attendees, right? E3 is now they're trying to make it such a attendee focused show for who's actually going there and paying for those tickets. And you have to wonder about that as well, right?
Yeah.
Of like, well, ESA I'm sure needs the money, you know, buy better website security. So like, they're desperately working on it. I don't know, man. We'll see. Number two on the Roper Report. Actual video game news, not things about the industry. Death Stranding has a release date on PC and a Half-Life crossover. A press release reads like this. Death Stranding on PC hits Steam, Epic Games Store, and retail simultaneously on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020, bringing with it a new photo mode, high frame rate, and ultra-wide monitor support. Wouldn't it be a Death Stranding announcement with something weird, though? 505 Games and Kojima Productions also revealed the PC version will have a crossover with Half-Life.
Dude.
Yes, really. Then there's a trailer. You want to toss it up, Aaron? It's super short.
Have you seen this already?
Yeah.
The thing that confuses me, I think this is all cool, but what confuses me is that Death Stranding is an Epic Games Store exclusive. Am I wrong? Right?
No, you're not. They announced it first on Epic, I think, but it says it hits Steam, Epic Games Store, and retail.
Maybe I'm wrong then. If it hits Steam, then I'm wrong.
Look at this frame rate, though. Look how fast.
Oh, that valve on the back of his head. Oh my God, that was cool. Of the Death Stranding. Photo mode is awesome. Yeah, the widescreen. Yeah, dude.
No, wait for it.
Oh yeah, it does say Steam. I'm wrong.
I already said you were wrong. Don't try to correct me. And then boing, the guy. It's a head crab, everybody. Remember, hey kids, it's Half-Life. Remember Half-Life? Ask your dad. he loved it. He loved playing
Portal?
It.
Are you talking about Portal?
No. There was a thing that's this Black Mesa. It's a spinoff thing.
Yeah, from Portal. It was
before then.
Oh, okay.
It was before then. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, I wonder the fact that if you're an audio listener, it's just Norman Reedus obviously looking, or it was character, Sam Porter Bridges looking into a mirror in his little room, right, with a head crab on top of it.
Yeah,
and so it's like, but then they make a point of saying Death Stranding X Half-Life. I wonder if there'll be more content than that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being like can I spoil Death Stranding?
How much of it? Like the actual ending?
Well, there's like a crossover in Death Stranding PS4 that I was gonna like bring up. But I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. So yeah, I see.
Like the Horizon Zero Dawn walkers. Like
oh yeah, 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 okay.
Yeah, 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 I imagine it'll be something like that.
Okay.
Right. I don't know.
You think that'll replace that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, do you think instead of Herman it'll be Gabe?
Oh,
go out there, give me a mission.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Okay.
Although I don't know if there's anything tall enough in Half-Life to like replace the walkers, like literally.
Just a giant Gabe Newell.
Oh, just a giant Gabe Newell. Okay, looking down at you like, oh.
Hey, how you doing?
By Portal 2.
What's going on with your arm? Your arm okay?
You should... Oh, yeah. No, it was my sleeve was getting up there.
Gotcha, gotcha. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Number three, we talked about this probably about to happen, then it happened in one of the most like ways possible. Oh, yes. Yeah. Valorant? Am I saying it right? Or Valorant?
I've been saying Valorant.
Valorant. What do you say, Barrett? Valorant?
I've never heard of this before, so I don't know.
Thanks for watching the show last week.
Yeah, this is the first time
I ran the show last week. I don't even remember us talking about it.
They just announced the name.
Officially.
Officially.
Remember, we had the play Valorant. Anyways, Valorant's been revealed. This is Luke Plunkett over at Kotaku. Previously known solely as the League of Legends studio, Riot showed us last year that they're now working on all kinds of new stuff. The first of which is Valorant, a team-based shooter. The game's website says Valorant will be 5v5 and pair gunplay, with each character having special, unique powers, along with a very technical emphasis on lag and accuracy. Less scientifically, and with little to back up, little to back this up aside from the art style and the feel of it, the video is making me think the pitch for this was basically to land somewhere between Overwatch and Counter-Strike, which really doesn't sound like the worst idea. If you're an audio listener, we're watching it right now, the demo they released of this. This is how they revealed the game. They just dropped
it. It's like a 2 minute long,
and
like,
it's like voiceover.
Yeah, there's voiceover.
That's why I muted it.
It's totally like, that. It's like the old Ubisoft ones of like, all right, now go over there. I got him. Frick!
What I will say is that I feel like the voiceover in this is way more realistic.
What I'll say about the voiceover in this is I think it's
real.
I think they really captured it, not knowing if this would be what was shown.
That's what it felt like.
Because like they curse in it and bleep it. I don't think they would have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's my favorite part is like a guy is like, all right, let's go. And they get shotgun in the face and he's like, fuck. And like they bleep it. It's like a great.
It's quiet.
Yeah, it's
here,
not
guys.
The it's
like
not the Rainbow
library.
Six Siege, thing, you know.
I think this looks really awesome.
It'll be out this summer in some form, according to the below tweet from the game's official account. Whether that's a full release or just a widely playable beta, we're not sure yet. Let it keep playing, Barrett, while we talk over it.
Yeah.
Jeff from Philly drops in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, do you think Valorant can have a breakout into the shooter scene like Apex did?
I mean, I think it could have a bigger breakout
than
Apex. I mean, Apex got big, but like, I think Valorant trying to occupy the space that it is, right, being in that Counter-Strike and Overwatch space, which I guess are two different spaces, but trying
somewhere
to
between it,
somewhere between that, I think is going to appeal to a lot of people. And at the very least, right, it's going to have like a very strong hardcore audience, given how tight and quick and how like what's the word I'm looking for? Strategic, I guess, or tactical is the word I'm looking for, right?
Right, because you hear him, seems like I, you know, and again, everybody, I'm Greg Miller. I like Patapon. I like the PlayStation. I like my Switch. I don't understand all your words, but at some point in this demo, they talk about, all right, cool, I'm going mid or whatever, like making it sound like they're using lane terminology that you would in League of Legends.
Yeah,
some of that could have been totally wrong. You're welcome to be wrong me or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, you know, they got the capture points in there. They have that in there. It does seem that you need to be communicating with your team the same way you would in LOL.
Yeah,
for what I understand, LOL. Because I'll be honest. You could show me League of Legends and Dota, and I'd really struggle. God, I'd struggle. You're like, Dota, is this the one Mitch and Miranda played? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I know that one.
Okay, okay.
I'm saying if you showed me the screenshot of it.
The screenshot? Yeah, you wouldn't know Dota from League of Legends?
Probably not.
No, I think I could do it.
Barrett, test this right now. Look up two screenshots.
I'm gonna look behind. Now, you got to find two screenshots that are kind of similar, you know?
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Because I'm very curious.
Because it can't be. You know what? I think I got it. But here's the thing: if you ask, hey Greg, I want you to describe Dota, right? I'd be like, the art style of it, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it kind of looks like Diablo. That's what I would give you.
Okay.
And then if you asked me LOL, I'd be like, you need the lanes, and it kind of looks like Diablo, but there's like fucking there's towers and shit. And
see,
like,
I don't. Okay, I'm
can
gonna
you
let
do
I'm...
it.
All right, hold on.
Turn around. Turn and look at the wall. Look at the wall, Blessing. Take your microphone and look at the wall.
All right, hold on. Sorry,
You do your thing.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm not looking at your thing. All right. While you do that, I'm gonna look over here. Anyway, so do you, Blessing?
Yes.
For Jeff's question, do you think it has a chance? You think it could go bigger than Apex? Do you
think it's gonna? What does bigger mean? Like more sales? or like more active users, because Apex is free to play,
yeah,
which is a big contributor to how many players it has, sure. Right? Because I think at a certain point, I forget what their last announcement was. I think it might have been 50 million for the last announcement. But, you know, with it being free to play, I feel like that gives it that boost in terms of active users. But I feel like in having like a core community that is competitive and like has tournaments and all this stuff, I feel like it's going to do that for sure.
Yeah, and I guess too, it's if they can convert those League of Legends players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also it's going to be on PC. I guess primarily they didn't make a point of saying that, I don't think. Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I'm just going, Luke's reporting doesn't make it seem like there's a console announcement or anything to that effect. Oh, damn, that's tough.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, what is this?
Oh, shoot.
Hold on.
Wait, no, I don't know this. Yeah.
Okay, so do I do it one by one, or do I get to see them like one after the other and pick one?
All right.
Is this going to be like The Office, and it's like they're the same picture? All
right. We've got this one.
Uh-huh.
And then this one.
Okay. This is a lot harder than I thought it would be. Show me number one again.
Yeah.
Number one?
Yeah. Number two.
Oh,
so
shoot.
Which one are you guessing?
So one. No, I am guessing the number one is League of Legends, and number two is Dota.
There you go.
All right, cool. Got it.
Oh, I see. I didn't even get to guess. But I said the same thing. I think the same thing.
I remember Dota being incredibly sharp graphically. I remember when I'd walk by and see these PC dorks playing it. It was like, oh, man.
Because I played League
of Legends. How many flops you got on that machine?
I played League of Legends maybe twice. And I saw that, looking at that screenshot, I had no idea. Like, I'm going to be honest. I was like, I cannot remember how this game looks. I thought I had it. I do not have it.
RHD16 says, the terminology they use in the video is the terminology used in CSGO. Now, here's another interesting one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett, find me screenshots of CSGO.
Oh.
And then, I don't know, Rainbow Six.
Wait, really? You don't know how CSGO looks?
Come on.
Siege. No, because there are different things, right? Show me a CSGO screenshot in whatever
and
other game.
Whatever other
thing you think it looks
Mine's
like.
Mine's SOCOM.
Yeah, right?
Hold on. I got a good one.
All right, while you do that, Bless,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see if I can go 2 for 2 on this episode with guessing, but the next question is still so far away.
Of course.
If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today! Final Fantasy VII Remake. The demo is finally here.
Whoa.
It took forever, and they decided what better way than just to release it in the middle of the night, except if you're Australian.
The day that the preview embargo
Of course,
releases.
Of course, there's a video up right now, right?
Yep.
YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames.
Me, Tim, and Andy talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Hell yeah.
Our exclusive, not exclusive, but like our impressions on it that now you guys all get to experience by
yourself.
Playing the demo.
The demo allows players to experience firsthand the opening chapter from the game and the events of the iconic Mako Reactor 1 bombing mission. In addition, those who download the demo before May 11th, 2020 will receive an exclusive PlayStation 4 theme when the game launches next month. You liked it?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to spoil your whole video. You got a whole video over there to watch.
It's great.
Okay, good. Also out today, the story goes on Switch. Avo Cuddle on Switch, Madhouse PC, Chess Sudoku on PC and Mac, Rest House 2, The Wizard on PC, Savage Vessels on PC, Isoland 3, Dust of the Universe on PC and Mac. How you doing over there? You're still cooking on your assignment?
I've got a game. I'm just trying to find a good image.
That's fine.
For it.
No, I'm fine with you. I just want to make sure you're not waiting for me. You interrupt when you're ready, all right? I got new. I have no new dates and no deals of the day for you. So I mean, there's always deals of the day out there, but.
Yeah, just go to Wario64 on Twitter.
Exactly.
Scroll down.
Now it's time for reader mail. You can write in, of course, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free with the exclusive post-show. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/patreon. If you thought about backing Kinda Funny on Patreon so that you can ask us a question or a squad up request, but have been scared off by how complicated the system seems, worry no more thanks to our sponsor, kindoffunny.com/patreon. When you go to kindoffunny.com/patreon, you're given 4 simple choices to decide where you want to ask your question. Just click away. It's so easy. Greg Miller could do it. kindoffunny.com/patreon. What I liked about the questions today, first off, it's a new month on Patreon, right?
Uh-huh.
So people get the participation link set out again. They get all excited. They ask a million questions,
yeah,
which is always great. But a lot of good ones about news stories that I didn't think were newsworthy, mm-hmm, but are good talks.
Okay.
Talks. Is what I jumped to there. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah, it's like TikToks, but with two talks.
We should start our own app called Talk Talk.
Talk Talk.
I mean, what is it? It's just talking about things that aren't news stories, but are discussion topics. Jamie S. wrote in to kindoffunny.com/Patreon and says, "Happy Monday, Greg and Blessing. More bad news from NVIDIA this weekend, with the Long Dark developer removing their game from GeForce Now, stating that NVIDIA didn't ask their permission to host it. It's an interesting conundrum. NVIDIA isn't providing a marketplace, just the tech to run and stream the games that are already owned by individual gamers. And GeForce Now subscribers are paying for paying a monthly fee to rent access to the hardware to run their games, not for a select library. But NVIDIA so far has honored all the requests from devs and publishers to remove their games from the service, so clearly there is some sort of gray area here. Where do you guys stand on the matter? Should devs have a say in the hardware used to run their games, or a financial cut of the revenue made on a service like this? Where do you see all this going in the coming weeks/months? Could the outcomes set a precedent for future cloud services?" Thanks, Jamie S.
This is an interesting conundrum.
I was just going to say,
like, the idea that, you know, NVIDIA is not a library, it's more of a service, but it's kind of occupying the space of both, right? And so I can understand the idea that a dev might not want to have their game on there without their permission, right?
I really don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say I don't get it. I understand 100% being like, we've made our game for Steam, Epic, whatever, right? We've put it out, that's how it is, and then seeing people playing it on the service. But I feel like if you're seeing them playing on the service, you don't understand the service. Because the point of GeForce Now, right, is that it is streaming your library from your services.
Mm-hmm.
So if I made, let's say I made The Long Dark or whatever, I had it, people can stream it, but they've already bought the game. They own the game. I feel like this is using it on another screen.
Yes. It's interesting. I'm curious on what, like, the interface for GeForce, NVIDIA GeForce is, because I've been wanting to use it. I've not necessarily, you know, tried it out yet. But I understand the idea of autonomy mainly, right? And, like, wanting to have that ownership of where you put your game, even if it is, like, in, like, egotistic kind of thing of, hey, I don't want this to be on a service that I did not approve it for.
Yeah.
And if you want to have my game on your service, you are going to need to pay me. Because, like, NVIDIA GeForce is a strong service because of all the games that are on it, because it's playing games that are on your library already. Without the games, without access to all the games, GeForce NVIDIA now kind of has no power, right? And so as a developer, you're kind of letting GeForce NVIDIA thrive and be successful because your games are available for it. I could see the argument for, hey, I want a cut, or I want a bigger cut of my game's sales, or whatever it may be, even though your games aren't selling on NVIDIA. But I want some sort of deal if my game is going to exist on this platform, because my game is why your platform is thriving.
Sure. So here, you can look at it with me.
Okay.
Because I have GeForce up and running right now.
This is what
GeForce
like.
Now. And so I'm trying to add Fortnite. For the record, I've downloaded this. I have GeForce Now. I've not used anything with it. So the first thing I did was go find and add my games, right? So mm-hmm. I click on this. It was like, what do you want to play? I just put Fortnite in because it's easy and it was already promoting it. It's like, cool. The first thing it said was, we're going to find the game, and when you log in, it's going to ask you to log in as yourself, and that'll prove that you own the game somewhere else. So they, even though it's not that we're buying this through GeForce Now, it's also not, I thought it might be opening a different Steam. I was going to link my Steam and link my whatever.
It basically kind of imports it into your NVIDIA GeForce Now library, basically.
Right. And so, see, now it's booting up my Epic Games launcher down there and bringing me over here. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
But yeah. How do you feel about it?
I guess it makes more sense as we start to use it here. Hold on, let me log into Fortnite.
I feel like when you think about it too, as a competitor to Google Stadia and Xbox xCloud, even though xCloud theoretically, by the time that final version comes out, you're just gonna be playing games from your Xbox library. But I could see it, you know, in that conversation as being a competitor to Google Stadia specifically, why devs would be like, hey, if you're gonna have my game on your platform, pay up a bit.
Yeah. So hold on. I'm just trying to log. Okay. So see now. Okay. It's fascinating how this works. There are a lot of hoops to jump through right there. Granted, my first time logging into anything off the Epic Games launcher that it threw up there or whatever, but it actually got in and did. So I guess if I'm searching natively in NVIDIA GeForce. I have to find the page in NVIDIA GeForce for the game. Then it is a bit more wishy-washy because it is making it seem like it's right there, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So let me close this out. Let's try some, another shush. You shush. You quiet down. I don't want you barking at me, right? So what's a game I don't own? Dota.
Dota's free.
Shit, fuck. Then
on Riot.
Half-Life 2.
There you go.
I might own. Oh, I don't own it on PC for sure. So yeah, I click add to library. It says you'll be at, when you do this from the cloud service, you'll be signing your account. So don't show this again. Cool. Continue. And then it just finds it on there. And then I click play. And I just added it there. Interesting. So what's it going to do when it says I don't own it? You know
what
I mean?
I was going to say, are you buying it through NVIDIA GeForce Now?
I don't think so. No, because what it would take me...
Is it taking you to Steam?
Yeah, it's going to take me to Steam, right? Because that's where I would be pulling for. Here we go. We're going
to
find
out. Okay, so it takes you to the Steam login. And you're going to buy it through Steam.
Yeah. Well, let's see if I actually buy it. Oh, shit. I don't know.
Yeah, and I...
Hey, it worked.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's like a smart... business decision for developers not to have their games on NVIDIA GeForce Now. That said, like I get like the reluctance from it from an autonomy perspective of me wanting to be like, hey, like no, you guys didn't ask me for this, so I'm gonna keep my thing to myself.
So do you think it's that simple as just people need to ask? If I mean, would this not have been, because that was the issue, right, with all the others who stepped off? They were like, well, this, hey, we signed up for the beta, not for the full access.
Yeah, See, I don't know.
But yeah, it's the same thing. Like, okay, I still don't get it. I officially don't get it.
Uh-huh.
So I don't own Half-Life 2. So it's brought me, it opened up Steam, right? Fuck, I do own Half-Life 2. Who gave me Half-Life 2? When did I buy Half-Life 2? Okay, well, but anyways, though,
all
that regardless, it still would have opened it to the store page on my Steam browser or through NVIDIA GeForce to Steam, where I would have been like, hey, I don't own this game. Let's use this or buy this. So, like, why wouldn't you want your games being sold through this thing? Why wouldn't you want it being directed there? I'm missing a step. I need the developer to tell me what I'm missing.
Yeah.
Or I guess the developer, well, publisher, right? Yeah. If for in terms of like Activision or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I saw the tweet from the long dark dev, and I retweeted it because I thought it was an interesting tweet. But like, it was essentially him saying that like, hey, they didn't ask us for this, and so we're taking our game off the service. And I feel like it is like one of those things where you. I think it's a thing from NVIDIA GeForce Now. They got to communicate better to the actual publishers and developers because I feel like there's confusion there on what the service is.
Yeah.
And I feel like once they have that clarity, you know, maybe so many games will be taken off of NVIDIA GeForce Now. But I also think it's a thing of, like, one, clarity, but also I could very well see, like, people just, you know, wanting to get more money.
Real cool. Well, you're getting them. Well, yeah.
Well, you're getting money.
Charles Jacobson writes in with an interesting, because everybody else has been in the you're wrong being like, no, this I don't understand either. Charles Jacobson has an interesting take. What if the software does something unintended to their game in a bad way? I remember games where a lot of things like damage, speed, etc. were tied to frame rate. So if a streaming service, for instance, would affect this, a dev might not want to run the risk.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Optics-wise makes sense of, hey, we don't know your service. We don't know if it's going to be up to our standards. Like, I want my games installed natively, locally, so that they run great and look great. I could see that.
I could see that. But I feel like it's also, and maybe this is the thing where I could see that with... PlayStation exists, right? And PlayStation Remote Play is a thing, and you can play games, you can stream any game on your PlayStation through PlayStation Remote Play.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the same thing, but I can understand it being a thing of developers trust PlayStation to have their own service, right?
They also trust no one's using it.
Yeah, nobody's using it that way or that much. But yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I would like more clarity from people.
I totally would just be like, do it, whatever, I don't care. If you're going to buy the game, buy the game. Sorry if your experience is bad because of it. Also, everyone is pointing out you're wrong that Half-Life 2 is free leading up to Half-Life Alyx.
Oh.
Half-Life 1 is there as well. Go. So go ahead and enjoy that, everybody. Barrett, you got it?
You ready?
All right, everybody. So the test, remember, is can I identify a Counter-Strike GO screenshot compared to whatever other Barrett game he was able to pull out?
All right. Close your eyes really quick.
Closed.
Oh, you better get this. This is easy, Barry. This is too easy.
That was the closest game I could, like...
Can I open my eyes?
Yeah, open your eyes.
Okay, this one or?
He knows what that is.
Yeah, okay. So number one is Counter-Strike GO. Number two is a Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Right? The plus 50 is what would have given away.
Yeah.
Go back to the other one.
Would you have known this was Counter-Strike?
I would have because it looks janky PC. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this kind of thing. People, look at how sharp those edges are.
You should have looked up, like, Combat Arms or something.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's like a free-to-play first-person shooter from high school.
No one's heard of that.
I appreciate it.
Exactly.
Barrett, you did a great job.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I appreciate everybody. Everybody don't fight kids.
Also, I forgot to bring it up for the kids to see it, and now it's too late. So, sorry
about that. Oh, you can throw it back up.
I mean, I already closed the window.
Okay. Yeah, well, I got it is all you guys need to know. There was a 50 that gave it away. Arvin writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Gressing. Not sure if this has been coined previously, but this is your official
sounds like name. A Star Wars alien character.
Gressing?
Yeah.
It sounds like...
Oh, Greasy. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Greasy money baby. It sounds like bad dressing at Thanksgiving. You know what I mean?
Well... Aggressing.
Yeah. Yesterday, Platinum said in an interview that the reason the Wonderful 101's Kickstarter was not for funding at all, but more about gauging interest. I was wondering how you guys felt about this. On one hand, Kickstarter is a platform designed to fund projects that would otherwise never happen. And so projects that were basically already finished or close to completion goes against the very concept of crowdfunding. On the other hand, it seems that Platinum wanted people's money, and people wanted to give Platinum their money. Platinum wanted some publicity for their game, and people wanted to help spread the word about the game they really liked. So, in a way, everybody wins. Did you see this? Did you hear this?
I mean, I didn't see this, but I think that was an assumption that I made, right? Like, when the Kickstarter came out, and it was for as low as it was, and for a game that is about to come out, I was like, well, the game's already done, right? The game's already funded. This game was going to happen whether it got funded on Kickstarter or not. But, yeah, the idea of they want to gauge interest, I'm fine with it. I think at the end of the day, we get the game, and it helps them justify what they made, and it helps them justify more versions of the game. So overall, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, if you remember, they had set a little over $50,000 as their goal. They are currently closing in on, it's 1.9 right now with 4 days to go.
1.9 million?
Yeah, they'll hit 2 million, no problem, I'm sure. Here, let me...
Because didn't they do this for Shenmue 3 also?
Yeah, right. And then, they did it, and then they got into bed with PlayStation about it, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's, for me personally, like, I thought, I'm going to be completely frank with you, right, of, like, Wonderful 101 was a game I played a lot at demos and stuff, and I was always like, oh, this is cool. I'm not going to turn on my Wii U for it. So I'm stoked that it's coming out to actually play it and be like, all right, cool, let's see what this is all about. However, when it happened, like, over the weekend, right, where it set, like, this whole, not this weekend, but another weekend, where it came out and it blew all the doors off crowdfunding and yada yada. So I never even bothered clicking on it. So a week later or whatever it was when they announced the release date, and it was, like, May or whatever, I was like, fuck, all right, yeah, okay. Clearly this wasn't about funding. But for me, it just comes down to how they would have pitched this. I'm not sure what their initial pitch for their Kickstarter was. If it was, hey, I think there'd be way more outcry, right? If they
like straight up lied about
it. If they were like, hey, we're doing this because you, this can't happen.
Yeah,
yada, yada,
we need the $50,000 in order to actually make this game. I don't know what their actual wording on it was, but I feel like if their wording on it was, hey, we need this money so we can green light this so that we can, you know, make it to the finish line, whatever it may have been, something that was genuine and something that seemed truthful, then yeah, like, go for it. I feel like transparency is really all people ask for when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Exactly. And to Arvin's point, right, of like, people wanted to give their money, they wanted to make publicity, they wanted to spread the word, they also wanted the perks, right? Like, the bonus to this always is, if you go into this, you get more than just the game, right? I'm excited for Wonderful 101 to play it on PlayStation, right? I'm excited to the point of that I will buy it or ask for a code or whatever, however that all comes down to at launch. I don't care about getting, what, like, the highest tier here is what? All the way to the top? Jesus, there's a ton of tiers. I don't care about, I'm just looking at
getting blocked
the
by
36, Kia. Yeah, the 36,000 yen one, which is the digital soundtrack, the digital comic, the physical release, the keychain, a soundtrack, a t-shirt, a sticker. Like, you're not just buying, it's pre-ordering. Sirens are unearned. Isn't it? You're just pre-ordering it and getting a whole bunch of different crazy shit on here that you want.
And I feel like Wonderful 101 and Platinum as a studio, right? They're that kind of studio, and Wonderful 101 is that type of game to where this allows for more people to kind of get into it in that kind of way, right? Like, their fan base, you know, enjoys these kinds of perks. Like, there's a perk on there that lets Kamiya block you, right? Like, that's the type of thing that fans of Kamiya, you know, look forward to or want, along with the collector's edition of the soundtrack and all that different stuff, right? Like, Wonderful 101 is that cult, I don't know if I can call it a cult classic, but it has that cult
it's
following.
It's got a cult following, yeah.
Yeah, that are willing to support it in this way and are excited to support it in this way.
Yeah, so I personally don't have a problem with it, but if it was to be revealed that they originally put it out of, like, if you don't do this, this game won't happen, then I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm into the point of, like, oh, I mean, projects are basically, it goes against the very concept of crowdfunding. Like, the concept of crowdfunding, Arvin, I do believe has drastically changed from where it used to be. Like, we're used to, I would say, people seeing Kickstarters and understanding that this is going to happen regardless, but I can get more out of it. I can add more platforms. I can do whatever to it by actually getting into it. But in general, the luster and newsworthiness of a Kickstarter is long gone. So the fact that they were able to get news reportings and us talking about it and other people talking about the fact they were able to raise so much money did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. I agree.
Good. I'm glad. Blessing. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Marty88 needs help on Xbox. Marty88's Xbox name is Riley86. What the fuck, man? Come on.
You don't like Riley86?
I'm fine with it, but if he's... Why didn't he put... You get to choose your fucking username when you write... It's not like you have to verify this. If I was writing in and I was like, hey, I want my fucking username read on the show, I'd say... My name is Game Over Greggy. I want it on PlayStation 4. I'm Game Over Greggy on PlayStation 4.
Oh,
I
want to
be Marty88 in real life, and on Xbox, I'm Riley86.
See, I'm not mad at, because like if I did it, I would put in Blessing Jr. as my name.
Yeah, as your name.
And then Merc City 64 as my Xbox.
Yeah. But you wouldn't put Blessing also, Jr. I'm 82, Merc City 64. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay.
Also, I'm not Merc City 64 on Xbox because I think somebody took it. And so don't friend me.
That sucks, man. Riley86 says, I'm trying to get into games that require a squad. As I'm old, 31, Jesus, none of my friends play computer games, and my kids here are too young to play with the my kids are too young to play the violent ones. Frowny emoji.
Oh.
First off, 31 isn't old. You already got kids. Why are you calling them computer games? A lot of questions. Why is your name Marty88 and Riley86? I don't know. Hit him up.
What year are you born?
If you want to play with Riley86, a.k.a. Marty88, hit him up on one of those things. You'll figure it out. You're Wrong is where we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, listening on podcast services around the globe.
Marty88 was definitely born in 88. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what this 86 business
Who's
is.
Who's Riley86?
Who's the 80? What's the 86 for?
86th, you know? I don't know. Ricky McFly says, as of right now, Riot Games has only confirmed that the game will have a PC launch. Thank you very much for Valorant, whatever the fuck it was. The Virtual Boy says, oh, this is a correction for you. You guys were talking about Apex versus Valorant. Valorant. And Blessing said that Apex has the advantages of free-to-play game. Valorant will also be free-to-play.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That's awesome.
Frankie says, Valorant is optimized to run at least 30 frames per second on decade-plus-old computers with a dedication to a ping of less than 35 milliseconds globally. That makes it ridiculously accessible to anyone, anywhere around the world. Nanobiologist says the Shenmue Kickstarter 3 Kickstarter was announced during the PlayStation E3 press conference. And then breaking, Alex gameplay was just released by Valve. This is from Charles Jacobson.
Really?
Did you see how many gameplay videos they put up?
No.
They put up three?
Get it for Half-Life 3.
Get it? Get it, Blessing?
I don't buy it.
Get it?
I think they just had three different things
Half-Life
they wanted to show
3.
Off.
Three videos, Half-Life Alex. It's happening.
Actually,
Blessing.
You know what? I take it back. They know what they're doing.
ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily. Your hosts the rest of the week look like this. Tuesday, Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, Blessing and Witta. Thursday, Blessing and Tim. Friday, Blessing and Imran. Gamescast is going to be Wednesday at 2 p.m. What franchise needs to come back from the dead? You can watch live. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Blessing.
Yes.
The show's in your hands from here on out.
Oh, man.
I got to go to Canada tomorrow
evening.
Yeah, you should be. A lot of people are going to be looking at it. This is the big test. You know what I mean?
It is.
Because you've never hosted without me before consecutively.
Never.
So this is the big thing. Can't wait to see you fucking wear an IGN shirt tomorrow, you coward. You know what I mean?
I'll wear a GameSpot shirt.
God
just for
damn.
Good measure.
Okay. Oh, that, you know, actually balance it out. Let's just do that. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we still got a post show to do. So you should head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free and with that exclusive post show. But if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. Remember, you can watch live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.